I don't want you to be scared with this here. I have in my hands 150 copies of a statement. I don't like to give away my notes. And I was asked, why? Because I don't like it. Well, it's not your word, it's my word. Yes, but let them go study. They will take time to be watching the Super Bowl today. Well, let all the movie channels or TV channels go broke. And let them study the word. And I told them, I'm working my butt off just to hand it out to them. Yes. I almost said it's not fair, but I know better than this. Last week, we spoke about abandonment. How many of you remember that? One person only remembers. Praise God. Two, three. Good Lord. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Working my butt off to teach you about abandonment and four people remembers it. Now, who won the last Super Bowl game? I mean, who won the last football game? See? 3,000 people know who won the last football game. Shame on you. Shame on you. Anyway, I had to handwrite this and then give it to the secretary to type. And I'm thinking, could you at least make my life a little easy? Can I type it? No, I want you to handwrite it. I don't know why, but I did. So before I start today's preaching, I don't think I'll have enough time to get to this. But this is going to be on the back there after the service today, and I'm going to return to this. I have never seen God ask me to do something like this and then just hand out, because I know mostly like it will end up inside your Bible for the next 355 years. And you will never go back to it. Nevertheless, for those of you who have suffered abandonment, this is who you are.
Amen.
And if you can get a hold of this, your life will change.
Amen.
I might touch real quick. So what's the sermon today, preacher? No more abandonment, because you are a child of God.
Amen. Amen.
I don't think y'all heard me. No more abandonment. You are a child of God. The most important belief about ourselves is that we are children of God. Did you hear about? Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
The most important belief in our lives and about ourselves is the belief that we are children of God. And it's also the belief that being His child is a right given to us by God Himself. Did you all heard what I said?
Yes.
This is the foundation of your relationship with God and with other people. My father was a Jewish man, whom I have never had the displeasure to meet. And so was my grandfather on both sides. Never met none of them. Nevertheless, the knowledge that we came from a Hebrew family lingered throughout generations for the past 600 years. I can tell you the founder of our clan, his name. If my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather had not existed, I wouldn't be here. But because they did exist, this is the basis for my being in here. And continuing with this logic, you can see that we are all related in Adam. Between descendants, there exists a blood relationship. Born of the flesh, and born of the will of mankind. Once I was born into this world, there was nothing I could have done to undo my relationship with my family. Are you with me? Are you with me? When you are born into this world, you're born into a family. And there's nothing you can do to undo that relationship. One may ask, what if they kick me out of the house, like they did to me? Would still be a child of that family? Absolutely. What if they attempted to disown me, like my family did once I became a believer? Would I still, Paul Santos, be their child? Absolutely. And I would still be their child because this whole thing is based on a blood relation. Now, was there something I did or could have done that would cause me to no longer live in harmony with my family, especially my stepfather? Absolutely. It sure did. When I came to Christ, I was kicked out of the house. My mother came to me and said, it's time for you to give up this Christian nonsense. I said, sorry, mother. Gave my heart to Jesus, I don't think he wants to give it back to me. No returns. Mommy agreed with that and they kicked me out of the house. But this had nothing to do with blood relationship. I was still their child. Are you with me? Amen. Living in harmony with my family hinged in one issue, my obedience. If I obeyed my father and my mother, we've got along fine. If I didn't, we had problems. My father and my mother especially were like a taskmasters for me. And I learned from the earliest days that if mom told me to run and get something to her, she meant run. And you know, I learned, like our Lord Jesus Christ did, obedience from the things that I suffered. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, we have the following scriptures. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by... In the old days, mothers didn't talk twice to their children, at least down south. And if mother said something and she mumbled, you better find out by your own what she said. Because if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequence. Paul, yes, ma'am. At this point, the whole world went mute. Yes, ma'am. So I guess like Jesus, I learned obedience by what I suffered. Because if mother asked me to do something and I didn't, you better believe, easy was hanging on the wall to teach my ears to be sharper the next time. Today I am eternally grateful God gave me a mother like he did, who taught me to obey. It was painful, but she taught me to obey by the things that I suffered. How was that? How can that make you grateful? By the fact that at this age, I don't want to be spanked by God in order to be obedient to Him. I don't take much for granted. I don't have to wander way out of the plantation to be beat up and then come back. My relationship with my mom was born out of a natural descent based on the human decision that she and my daddy had. At the age of 15, the Lord gave me the privilege to enter into a new relationship, a relationship with Christ. To be born of God. The decision to enter into the relationship was not of my mother, neither of my father. The only one who had a volitional choice was Paul Santos. I alone could have chosen to believe and receive Christ as my personal Savior. Now that I am God's child, is there anything I could do that would cause me to lose my relatedness with Christ? No. Stay with me. Personally, I don't think so. Then you may ask me, why? Why you think you cannot lose your relatedness with Christ? Because now I am blood related to Christ. When I was brought into this world, my mother made a choice to bring me in with my father. Although in my case, it was, according to them, an accident. It was a coincidence. I said, no, it was a coincidence. God don't make mistakes. They could kick me out of the house. They could disown me because I wasn't in agreement with them. Now, a point came in time when I made a decision to get into a new relationship. The relationship with God, with Christ. My parents had no say on that. I was the only person who did. So is there anything that will now, that can cause our relatedness? Did you all know the word relatedness? When you're related to someone. No, there isn't. Because my relationship with God, your relationship with God, is not based on a man's volition and a man's will. It's based on blood. Just like you're related to your family, it's also a blood-related thing. You may think, preacher, I think you're pushing. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I want you to read it with me, and let's read it slowly. You don't have to rush. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestor. And the ransom paid was not mere gold and silver. Watch this. God took the first step toward paying the price. The ransom. Ransom. To save your life. God took the first step. And that price was not based on silver or gold. Now listen to verse 19. It was It wasn't silver who bought me. It wasn't gold who made this relationship possible. It's not gold or silver that made me related to Christ. God agreed with me on that covenant, and He bought me by the precious blood of Christ. So I am blood related to God through Christ Jesus. You are blood related to God through Christ Jesus. And therefore, nothing on this planet can separate you from this relatedness. You know what? Brothers, let's go back. Give me 1:17 on the Message Bible. Let's start on 1:17 on the Message Bible. Watch this. You call out to God for help. And He helps. Why? Are you with me so far? You see what you're getting in. Your parents didn't tell you, you must go to God. And if they didn't, you could choose not to. You had to make that decision. So you call out to God for help, and He helps. He's a good father that way. Then, but don't forget, He's also a responsible father. Is anybody with me here now?
Yes.
Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. Now listen to verse 18. It cost God plenty to get you out of the dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19, He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. You became a child of God, and you are blood related to God because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary Cross. Folks, in some ways, I think this is a disadvantage for those of you who grew up in church. And I say it in a holy way, not in a bad way. It might be a disadvantage because when you grow up in church, I call you church mice. You get used to everything in church. And at some point, it becomes dull. And this is the reason why many people from church go out there, venture the garbage out there. I see it as a disadvantage because most of the people do not have a full conscience. You are a child of God. On the moment that you made a decision to call out for help, God pitched in. And God help us to come out of dead end, empty life that we inherit from our ancestors. And God made us a family by the blood of Jesus that was shed. When you came into this world, you were born out of the will of the flesh. In other words, your mom and dad had a say on this. But once you were born into the family of God, you became a child of God, your family had nothing to do with this. It was you and God. And therefore, when you made that decision, automatically, you became a child of God because God paid the price with Christ's sacred blood being shed for you. So whether you like me or not, you have to put up with me because we are blood related. Not personal blood, but the blood of Jesus. That makes us a family. I want to read it again. Brothers, may we have the same scripture again. I want you to, this thing to stick with you. You're not out there by yourself. You're not alone. You have blood-related family. Here we are.
Yes.
117, same scripture. Let me go through this again. You, each one of you here, called out to God for help. And He helps. Because He is a good Father that way. You get the point? He is a good Father. So when you call out to God and got saved by Jesus, you became one of His child. So He's calling, telling right away, He's your Father. But don't forget, He's also a responsible Father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Why? God wants the best for you. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And then He goes on to say, your life is a journey and you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It's a journey that we have in here. And God is expecting you and I to have a deep consciousness, a deep awareness of God in our lives. So God went one step further in verse 18. It says that it cost God plenty to get you out of the dead end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Are you with me here?
Yes.
That means salvation. This is the time when you decide to take Jesus as your personal Savior. It cost God a lot. And what did it cost? Verse 19. He paid for your life to be changed with Christ's sacred blood. So we are a family, blood related. Now, can we lose fellowship? Absolutely. Just like I lost fellowship with my family for 27 years. They don't want to hear about me. That's all right. I've got a bigger family now. And would you believe every country where we went after I was kicked out of house, somebody would out of the blue come and said, I'm going to take you as my son. So thank you, Mom. Every single nation where I have been. We are related by the blood of Jesus. Now let's go, brothers, I don't think it's on the list. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let's start on verse 11. Give me the New Living Translation. John 1:11. He came into His own people, and even they rejected Him. In order to become a child of God, there is a difference from earthly birth. To become part of a family on earth, you don't have a choice. Your parents made that choice to bring you into this world. On the family of God, it's better. You have a say on the matter. God is offering each one of us in the entire world a chance to become part of His family. So He sent Jesus, and Jesus came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. Which means there is a possibility for somebody to reject Christ. And the sad part about people that are out there thinking that they have to be good to be saved is that if you could get into the family of God by doing good, there was no need for Jesus to come. Are you with me here?
Yes.
You could make your way in through the good deeds that you did. But God didn't want it to be like that. We need a sacred blood.
Amen.
And that only Jesus has. Then when you go to verse 12, it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. The right to be part of God's family is given by God.
Amen.
When we call for help, he answered because he's a good father. And what do I need to do to be a child of God? I need to believe that God wants me in the family. And once I believe, I need to accept the invitation to be part of the family. And when I believe that God wants me in the family, and when I believe and accept that invitation, then God gives us the right. Now it is a right that you have to become a child of God. Now how many times have you seen God regret doing something? You know, somebody says, well, God regrets making man in the book of Genesis. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. God said, I want you to fill up the whole earth. Populate it. And the idiots back then said, you know what? Let's all gather together. Let's build a tower that will reach heaven. How dumb can you be? And they all gathered together and they all spoke one language. God said, man is messed up. And everybody went cuckoo. Everybody went haywire. Then God said, I regret making these people. But before that, things got so bad on planet Earth, that the descendants of Enoch were called the children of God, and the rest, sons of men. That's how bad things got. God regretted it. Then God made a covenant with Noah and wiped out the whole earth. Right after that, okay, now multiply, spread out. Again, that's when they decided to make the Babel Tower. God said, you know what? Wait a minute. Somebody was talking with another person here. There's a meeting, all of them. Well, how are you going to make this tower? Eu não sei porque... Huh? Eu não sei porque esse lugar aqui é muito grande. What? What is he saying? Ik vou crer pela mão nito, what he said. What? What y'all talking about? Eu não compreendo. Vocês estão todos falando uma língua estranha. Oh, my Lord, what's going on here? Are y'all nuts? We speak this language. Monsieur, que parlez-vous? Je ne comprends. Que tu parles? And they all got frustrated, and everybody went their own way. That was the only time. But when it comes to eternal affairs, when you believe that God wants you to be part of His family, and you accept the invitation, God graciously give you the privilege and the right Amen. To become a child of
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise God.
While I'm on this, I want to say this. If you have been going to church all your life, but has never believed that God wants you to be a part of His family, and then made the invitation to Jesus Christ, you know, you have received that invitation by inviting Christ. Today's the day for you to do this. You can't go to heaven because your parents were a Christian.
Right.
Or your grandparents were a Christian.
Yes.
You can't get to heaven because you're a good person. Oh, I am a good person. So what? So it's the devil. He ain't good. But the Bible says that he believes and he trembles. Nobody is trembling. He's an idiot too. But you know what, folks? When you came into your family, into this earth, you had no say on this. Your parents did. But when it comes to the family of God, God is extending the invitation to you.
Amen.
And you have to say, Lord, I believe you want me to be part of your family, and I want it.
Amen.
How do I go about this? The Bible says that he purchased you by the sacred, precious blood of Jesus that was shed. So how does this thing work? You just have to say, Lord, I believe that you want me to be part of your family, and I receive the sacrifice that Jesus did at Calvary Cross and the blood that was shed to pay for my soul. On that point, we become blood related.
Amen.
And you are forever a child of God. And I know that the lousy ones will say, well, what about these people? They were in church and they were doing good and then they backslid. Nobody that has ever tasted the sweetness of God's love indeed will ever walk away on him. You may backslide for a while, but if you stay out there, you're going to be the most miserable person on planet.
Yes.
You're going to miss home.
Yes.
Well, I know Sister Periquita Perez, she backslid 40 years ago. Brother Joe Cranky, he left church 50 years ago and he ain't still back. Well, perhaps Brother Joe Cranky was never saved. It's impossible for you to taste that stuff and stay away for long. Now, I always tell people there are people that are converted and there are people that are convinced. What? Yeah. What's the difference? It's the same. No, it's not. When you're convinced, it's only in your head. When they're converted, it's in your head and in your heart. When you're convinced, you will ponder, you will listen. But when you're converted, you move in a different direction. That's what conversion is. So when you made that decision, you came to Christ, you became a child of God. And that will never change. We may change our views, but in God's sight, He is always waiting for you to come back. And the prodigal son history is a proof. Every day that father will be looking out for that son to come back. God knows for how long, but every day he would look until the day he saw his son coming back. A true child of God may wander away, but they won't eat pig food for long, because pig food isn't tasty as what we have in the house of the Father. Listen to verse 13. They are my Lord. Let's stop right here. They are not born. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. I love that translation, the word reborn, because you were born into a family as a result of your parents' desires and passion and whatnot. But on the family of God, God is the one who makes the move. And when you respond to the move of God, you become a child of God. And there is no devil on earth or on hell that will ever be able to change that. Because your birth into the family of God is based on the blood of Jesus. So if the entire family neglects, all right, big deal. I've got something much better than what y'all can offer me. The issue isn't really Whether or not I choose to, or I am able to, the issue is not if I'm able to hang on to this relationship with God. The issue is whether or not God will ever leave me. Are you with me? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he makes a promise. And this is where a lot of people get it messed up. Once you make that decision, the issue is not if I am able to go on, if I choose to go on, if I'm able to hang on this with this relationship. No. The issue is if God will ever leave me. And he says, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such thing as you have. For he himself has said, oh, come on. What did he say? Thus, he would never do, by choice, leave us. Because he promised to stick with us. By choice, I could disobey and no longer live in harmony with my Heavenly Father. But that could not affect the blood relationship. And as long as I obey God, I will live in harmony with Him. Yet, it will not annulate the blood covenant. Amen. The blood sonship. The blood daughtership that you have with God. Are you getting this?
Amen.
Folks, I believe that making this distinction is critical. What do you mean? If I thought it was my obedience that determined whether or not I would stay related to God, that can make a big difference. If I would think like that, I would be subjecting myself again to legalism. And if I did, I would logically conclude that I was related to God by my obedience, which is not true. So when I disobey, I would lose my relationship along with my salvation, which is not true. We are not children of God based on what we do. We are children of God by grace. We are children of God through faith, and it's not by work. Last week, the Lord gave me a sentence, and I spoke about this on Sunday night, and 98% of the presence never caught it. I'll say it again. Mercy is when God doesn't give us the punishment we deserve.
Amen.
That's mercy. Grace is when God gives us the goodies we don't deserve.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Mercy is when God does not give us the punishment we deserve. But grace is when God gives us the goodies, and that means eternal life and all this other stuff, when we do not deserve it. Your relationship to God, your membership into the family of God, has nothing to do with what you do or what you did. The only doing you have on this whole thing is, Lord, I believe that you want me to be part of your family. You want me to become your child. So I receive Jesus' sacrifice so we can seal this deal once and for all.
Amen.
That's all you have to do. And I know that many of you came from Catholic backgrounds and other do-it-yourself salvation stuff. And I want to hammer on this today because I want you to understand you are a child of God when you came to Christ, and that will never change. Amen. There's nothing that you can do that will be able to separate you from that love, Amen. Which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing! Amen. In the worst case scenario, God will kill you. What? Yeah. That's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. Paul had a group of blessed of the Lord in the church of Corinth, and one guy decided to flirt with his stepmother. And she, being a punk, went along with it. Paul asked, what a nonsense is this that we are hearing is happening among you? Doesn't even happen on the chosen frozen churches. Not even the world. What's going on in there? I'm hearing here now that this dude is asleep with his stepmother. And Paul goes on to say, now, you and me present in spirit, will deliver this devoid of understanding into the hands of Satan so that his body may be destroyed, but his soul may be saved. Even incest, it will cost your life when the church places somebody in the hands of Satan. But you are still a child of God. Your salvation has nothing to do with what you do. Because what you and I do stinks. Listen to Titus chapter 3, starting on verse 4. Let's start with the New Living Translation. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, I want you to read it with me. 5. Stop. When God, our beloved God, revealed His goodness towards us, the very first thing that He did was? He, not us, He saved us. Then he goes on to say, let's go. Not because of the righteous thing we have done, but because of His mercy. He did not give you and I the punishment that we deserve for the junk we did. And he goes on to say, not only He gave us mercy, He went a step further. It says, He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. Can we agree on this? You are born into the family of God not by your good deeds. You are born into the family of God not by your good deeds. God will save you. And once saved, God will make sure that you get clean into the family. He's going to wash you. So we have no stinking brothers in the family. Say amen.
Amen.
He then gave us a new birth. 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 You are born into a new family, the family of God. He goes on in verse 6. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us. How? Are you following this? You are saved. Right? You are washed. And then you reborn into the family of God. And to top off, He generously poured out. What is the idea behind this? When you go read this on the Greek, I made sure that this time I checked. The word poured out, when the Super Bowl or whenever football game is over, the players get that big pitcher full of whatever they have inside,
Gatorade.
You know, and throw on the coach's head. Is that right?
Yes.
It's the same thing, but a million times bigger.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
You're not only reborn into the family of God. You are washed away from all the junk from the past. You're saved. And then let's make sure that we finish the work. Throw a ton, not of Gatorade, but Holy Ghost upon this person.
Amen.
Huh? Through Christ our Savior. Now verse 7. Because of His
grace.
In other words, that goodie that you didn't deserve, but He gave you anyway. He declared us
righteous.
And that we have you have we settled this?
Yes.
It's not what you do, it's what He did.
Amen.
And once you become a member of God's family, there is no devil on earth or on hell or whatever he is that can change that fact. Now, I want to read it through. I'm not going to stop to talk. I want to read it through on the Message Bible. Brothers, let's go back. Let's read it. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, what happened?
He
saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of washed inside and out. My Lord. Verse 6. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. Verse 7. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come. Did I make my point? You are a child of God. And nothing will ever change this. Start living on the fullness of your life. Don't beat yourself up. Because your salvation, your relationship, your relatedness is not based on what you do, what you did, or what you will do. You are blood related because of the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
God will never leave you. And if you fail to live a happy and victorious life, it's not God's fault. It's because we don't obey Him. Now we're talking about relationship, not relatedness. Your life can be much happier, much victorious if you understand you are a child of God, end of story. That's a done deal. You and I can rest assured of the fact that when we come to Him, Jesus Christ, it's a done deal. You are a child of God and that will never change. Now, victory and sweetness of life can come by obedience. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Where did the time go? We read this. Jesus replied, "All who love me
will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come, and they are home with Jesus."
See? It's what I do that no, 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 no. You are not saved by what you do. You don't do what you do to be saved. You do things for God because you love Him.
Amen.
As a result of your salvation. And this is what the world can get. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say."
Amen.
We do what He said, not because we want to be saved, but because we love Him.
Yes.
Now, some of you have had children here. And some of you have had pets. Even you pets, when your pets do what you say, don't you give them a bribe?
Sure.
Exactly.
They like it.
Your children. You love when you tell them to do something and they do, don't you? If you have that lovely child that said, "Child, I want you to excel on your high school because I want you to graduate." "Yeah, you know, Mom, you know that I know it's tough right now. So I want you to turn off your phone. Let's do this. Once you come from school, you hand me over the cell phone and you're going to do your homework and you're going to study and you ain't getting no cell phone back until 8:30. Then 8:30 to 9, you can have your phone and then it comes back down here. If that child will comply with this, and that child excel in high school and passes with honorable grades, would you mind taking a little pocket change and buying that child a car? A beginner, a starter's car, when he or she becomes 16 or 17? Absolutely not. Why? Because you have a child that will listen to you, that will obey you. Are you with me here? So our obedience has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with the relationship. When we obey, things goes good. When we don't, it gets rough. Are you getting this?
Yes.
You are not a member of the family of God by what you did, by what you do, by what you will do. You are a member of the family of God because of the blood of Jesus that was shed.
Amen.
And therefore, if you have a little nonsense thought, "I don't do well with white people. I don't do well with colored people." You better get your act together. Because we all came to the same Savior. We are all blood related.
Amen.
So get your stinking act together and let's move on. Because there is more life. Jesus said, "All who love me will do what I say." And when we love Him and do what He says, get this, my Father will also love them. That's double portion of love. And we will come, the Father and Jesus, and make our home with each one of them. It pays to love God. It pays to love Jesus. When we love and obey, we get a double dose of love inside us. Are you together with me here?
Yes.
I was thinking one day, "Lord, what is the best way for me to describe happiness? The ability to sing a sweet song, even when everything around you is bitter." It is the love of God bursting from within us that will cause our life sweeter, that will give us a good relationship with Him. It's not what we did. It's not what we do. We are not saved by how we behave. Say amen.
Amen.
We are saved by how we believe. Can I have another amen here?
Amen.
We are not saved by how we behave. We are saved by how we believe. When we enter into a relationship with God by faith, we can exclaim with John in John 3, 1 through 3. I want to wrap up right now. Can we read this together? See how much our Father loved us, for He calls us His children. And that's what we are. But the people who belong to this world, don't you love this? Listen to the Message Bible, same scripture. Watch this. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who He is or what He's up to. Listen to verse 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children. Let's stop here. I want you to look to somebody and say, don't you dare to doubt. We are already God's children. Don't you dare to doubt. We are already God's children. But He has not yet shown us what will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him. Look at somebody and say, I always thought you look like Jesus. That's what he's saying over there. Now listen to the Message Bible in the same scripture. Lovely. Little nuts, but lovely. But friends, that's exactly who we are. Children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is this. When Christ is openly revealed, we'll see Him. And in see Him, let me get verse 3 here real quick. And all who have this eager expectation, ask your neighbor, how are you, pure one? Listen to the Message Bible. All of us who look forward to His coming, stay ready. With the glistening purity of Jesus, life as a model. Are we still together, folks? This passage drives home again how critical it is to know who we are as children of God. Because that serves as a basis for how we live our lives. What do you mean? Pay attention to this now. No person can consistently behave in a way that is inconsistent with how they perceive themselves. Did you get that? I'll say it again. This passage here is fundamental. It's critical to know who we are as children of God. It's critical for you and I to know that we are children of God. Why is it critical? Because nobody can consistently behave in a way that is inconsistent with how we perceive ourselves. Did you get that? 90% didn't, because all of you are looking to me like if I had three heads. If you realize that you are a child of God, and you believe that you are a child of God, and you perceive that you are a child of God, and you agree that you are a child of God, and you see yourself like a child of God, you will consistently behave as a child of God.
Amen. Amen.
But if you have doubts about your relatedness to God, you can't consistently behave as a child of God because you don't see yourself often as a child of God. Does that make sense to you? So it's fundamental that we understand that we are children of God. And that, my friends, will never change. I believe that one of the most important inward personal thing we can say as we address God is Father. Father. Start addressing Him as Father. What's wrong for me to say, Dear God? Nothing is wrong with this. But that gives a little hint of foreignness, of strangeness. And for some of us who grew up with a bad father figure, it will always be hard to call God Father. One of the greatest testimony that you have with yourself that things are now in place where it's supposed to be, is that when you address God, you will call Him Father. When Jesus taught His disciple to pray, did He start by saying, Dear God, hallowed be Thy name? Is that how He started? How did He start? Our Father, which is in heaven. That I know you're a little bit far away, but hallowed be your name. And you know what, Dad? Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done here on earth. It's done in heaven. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So, what? What you're saying, preacher? If He is our Father, then we must be His children. Is that right?
Yes.
And that will give us the assurance to come to Him as a dad. To come to Him when life gets tough. To come to Him when it seems like the whole world is broken apart. You will always come to, you can always come to Him because He is your dad.
Amen.
Few people, besides myself, I have seen only two persons, heard only two persons start praying, Dad, thank you so much for this day. I haven't heard people saying, Dad, Daddy, thank you so much for this day. Usually people, Dear God, our God, you know what I mean? Folks, you've got the best dad
Amen.
You could yes. ever wish in God. Once you understand that you are a child of God,
Amen.
And that this relatedness is not hinging on your behavior or on what you do, what you did, what you will do, but you are a child because of the blood of
Yes.
Jesus that was shed.
Yes.
You can come with confidence to the throne of God and find grace and mercy in times of need. The devil may have come along and tried to say to you and I, what right do you have to call yourself God's child? The right given to you in John 1:12. He says, to whom but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. This right you have not earned. It has been bestowed upon you and I. So renounce that lie from the devil. And if there's anybody here who has never made that decision, okay, God, now I understand what salvation is all about. I believe that you want me to be your child and part of your family. I want to receive Jesus as the one who's going to pay the price for my soul. I want you to raise your hand so we can pray for you. Church, can you bow your heads and start praying? If is there anybody here this morning has never made that decision, or somebody that was never certain about their salvation, you can say that you don't know anymore. It's time for you to raise your hands so that we can pray with you. While the others have their heads down, it's nobody's business what's going on. We want to pray for those willing to be attached to the family of God. While you have your heads down, pray this prayer with me. Dad, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you so much for sending Jesus to take my place, to take my sins upon himself. I realize I could not have any relationship with you on the basis of my own works. But I thank you that in Christ I am forgiven right now. I thank you. And I receive the invitation to become part of your family. And I want Jesus to pay you for my life, for the forgiveness of my sins. I accept the invitation to become your child and part of your family. I come to you as your child now. And I thank you for giving me eternal life. I renounce all the lies of Satan that I have no right to be called your child. I renounce it right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you have given me that right. I no longer put my confidence in my deeds. My confidence is in you. And the fact that I am saved, not by what I have done, but by what you have done through Christ. I now accept myself, Dad, as a child of God. Free. Completely free. I gladly receive the invitation to be part of your family. And I embrace you as my dad. The best dad I could ever have. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.